CP Eau Claire and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Severe winter weather has killed at least 46 people, and winter storm warnings and advisories are in effect for nearly 10 states from Washington to South Dakota. CBS's Carter Evans is in Portland, where three people were killed and a baby injured when a live power line fell on their car.
The deadly cold snap continues to grip the nation with dozens of weather-related deaths so far, many caused by hypothermia and crashes on the road. Among the victims, five family members in northeastern Pennsylvania, all killed after being struck by a tractor trailer. So far, at least 10 have died in Oregon after a string of storms plunged parts of the state into a deep freeze. Up to a quarter inch of ice made driving treacherous around Portland.
A U.S. official confirms to CBS News that the U.S. military has launched another wave of missiles against Houthi-controlled sites in Yemen, sites that were prepared to launch attacks, according to the official. A spokesman for Qatar's foreign ministry says a shipment of medicine for dozens of hostages held by Hamas has reached the Gaza Strip. CBS's Robert Berger.
This is the first time medicine has been sent to the Israeli hostages since they were captured by Hamas more than 3 months ago. The deal was brokered by Qatar and France, but talks on a broader deal for the release of the hostages remain at an impasse.
A new warning from federal agencies about Chinese drones.
Sam Vinogradz, a former assistant secretary for counterterrorism, threat prevention and law enforcement policy at the Department of Homeland Security.
What we have seen over the past several years is a series of alerts issued about the risk posed by Chinese manufactured drones, by commerce, by treasury, and now by CISA and the FBI.
She says we know drones can cause disruptions to critical infrastructure.
And we also know that drones can be successfully used for surveillance or information gathering purposes.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
A judge threatened to kick former President Trump out of a Manhattan courtroom for talking while writer E. Jean Carroll testified that he ruined her reputation after she accused Trump of sexual abuse. Trump later saying,
"He's a nasty judge. He's a Trump-hating guy. It's obvious to everybody in the court. It's a disgrace, frankly, what's happening. It's a disgrace."
Being determined are damages, if any, that Trump owes her for comments he made about her. Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSantis tells town hall attendees in New Hampshire that after Iowa, he's working on beating Nikki Haley in her own state, South Carolina.
What she was relying on was getting Democrats to come vote for her. That obviously is not somebody that's going to be able to win a Republican nomination, much less, you know, against Donald Trump.
Retail sales were up strongly in December. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Republicans appear to have hit an impasse over legalizing medical marijuana. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu says creating state-run dispensaries is a non-starter. Assembly Speaker Robin Foss says he won't compromise to address Senate Republicans' concerns. Foss says the bill is the result of months of talks. Governor Evers says Republican senators were wrong to fire Public Service Commissioner Tyler Huebner. Senator Brad Paff was himself fired as acting Agriculture Secretary. He says Republicans are playing politics with the governor's appointments.
This rigid partisan ideology accomplishes nothing for the people of this state. And quite frankly, it just demonstrates to them that the government is broken and it does not work.
Republicans point out they've confirmed more than 480 of Evers' appointees. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers lose in an upset. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers had not lost to a Big Ten opponent until they faced Penn State and Kane Clary.
Shot clock down to 10, game clock at 44. Clary drives by wall, pulls, pops, good off the glass. He has been spectacular. Penn State up 6, 34 seconds to play.
Matt LePay with the call. Clary finished with 29 points on the way to an 87-83 win for Penn State over Wisconsin. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
Obviously the turnovers. I thought early, right from the start, we just got a little frenzied, and that gave them confidence as they were able to jump out to that lead that we can never quite get back where we felt we could get in control of it.
The Badgers host Indiana Friday night. NFL, the Packers will be without backup outside linebacker Kingsley Enagbare after he suffered a knee injury against the Cowboys. Rookie Lucas Van Ness will have to step up as a pass rusher against the 49ers this Saturday night.
I think the more he plays, the better he gets.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 2 below zero. A few flurries on your Thursday with a high near 10. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, 2 below zero. For Friday, partly sunny with a high around 6 degrees. High of 10 on Saturday and near 20 for Sunday with mostly sunny skies.
Right now, 6 degrees.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks chickens dream of one day being pot pies, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. I love that music so much. Sometimes I feel like my energy can't match the intro music. What do I do about that? I guess I got to do jumping jacks or something. Great to have you with me on a Wednesday night. Another Wednesday. The Wednesday of the cold spell is how I think this day will go down. We got to hang in there till Sunday, folks. And then I think it's going to be get much more mild, at least for January. I think I was seeing high 30s, at least up north by me. Much more tropical here in downtown Green Bay. Broadcasting live statewide from the City Deck Landing, WGBW Civic Media Studios. Great to have you with me on a Wednesday night. Got a lot of show for you guys tonight. We're going to have some laughs. We got some great guests. As always, taking your calls and text is the trusted Conrad.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, Pete.
You ready for some serious text action?
Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah.
No sexts,
though. No sexts. We don't want those.
Yes, please, no.
Yeah. Conrad's actually saying, that's okay. If you want to send those, that's fine. So send us your text tonight. We love hearing from you. We got a lot of activity last night. That was really fun, reading texts and finding out what people liked and what they were binge watching. And actually, last night was favorite movie song and score, and we got a lot of good responses from that. Tonight's question, it is Jim Carrey's birthday today. So his body of work is pretty incredible. He's left his mark on comedy for sure. A lot of people don't know this. Jim Carrey was a really funny stand-up before he did movies and before he got on In Living Color. So Jim Carrey, it is his birthday today. He turns 62. Yeah, we'll hear some funny Dumb and Dumber clips, maybe something from The Cable Guy. We'll see how the evening goes. It is also James Earl Jones' birthday. He turns 93 today. The voice of Darth Vader, and as well as many other characters throughout the years, James Earl Jones. It's funny, these guys get to be iconic, and you forget that they were really, really solid actors at one point. Not that they're not in their bigger roles or more iconic roles, but he was just a phenomenal actor. Back in the day, Muhammad Ali was all about showbiz. So we're going to talk about Muhammad Ali right now. He is no longer with us, but today is his birthday. He was in a film about himself called The Greatest in 1977. James Earl Jones was in that film, and Robert Duvall was in the film. Like, it had a really good cast. Ali played himself and was not bad. I was watching clips of it earlier. There's a great scene where Ali more or less holds his own with Robert Duvall. And my favorite Muhammad Ali story, Jim Brown tried to talk Muhammad Ali into doing a charity boxing match. The two of them were going to get in the ring. They were going to box. Jim Brown, of course, legendary football player, maybe the greatest running back of all time. Muhammad Ali, arguably the best boxer of all time. And Ali invited Jim Brown to his hotel room in New York City, and they discussed it. And Ali said, "I don't want to do this with you, Jim." Jim Brown says, "Come on, champ, this is going to be great. You know, we'll both get in there. We'll take it easy on each other, whatever." And he said, "It's not fair, Jim. I can't do this." And Jim Brown said, "Come on." He kept trying to talk Ali into it. And Ali finally said, "Jim, try to hit me." And Brown said, "No, you know, they were friends, whatever. I'm not going to hit you." And he goes, "It's okay. Just try." Jim Brown tried for like 2 minutes to punch Muhammad Ali in his hotel room and didn't even get close to him. My favorite Muhammad Ali story. So some fun birthdays today. James Earl Jones, Jim Carrey, Muhammad Ali, Steve Harvey turned 67, Zooey Deschanel, 44. It was like nobody last night, Conrad.
Yeah, there was no one last night.
I mean, how many celebrities are there? There's hundreds of thousands, yeah, maybe. And there's only 365 days of the year. We got pretty much shut out yesterday. So a much better day today in the way of celebrity birthdays. My guests tonight are from the Journal Sentinel reporter, entertainment reporter, Chris Foran. He writes just some really great stuff in the Journal Sentinel. He's going to join me tonight to talk about the Emmys and a piece he is working on about a famous show that we actually discussed the other night and its 50th anniversary that was set in Wisconsin. We'll talk about that with Chris at 8:30. Then Wisconsin author James P. Roberts is here to promote a poetry and writing event that will happen this month. James is a very accomplished author and one of Wisconsin's own. And then rounding out the show tonight will be comedian Des Mulrooney. He joins me at 9:30. He is playing tomorrow night in Janesville. And we'll talk to Des a little later. Des and I were both in a movie 2 years ago called The Road Dog that is now out, available for rent, and Des had the lead role. He got the lead, well, co-lead maybe, or supporting actor, but it was his first film role, and he did great. So we'll talk to Des a little bit later, too. Tonight's question, what is your favorite Jim Carrey movie? It's his birthday. He's got a lot of them. Go on IMDb. The guy's got a ton of credits. He's made some classic comedies. My personal favorite is Dumb and Dumber. But what is your favorite Jim Carrey movie? Conrad, do you have one?
Yeah, it has to be The Truman Show.
The Truman Show.
Yes.
It's interesting that you go drama over comedy with Jim Carrey. I respect that.
It is still a comedy because of Jim Carrey. But yeah, more drama.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that was a good show. I think that might have had some Oscar nominations, if I remember correctly. Another big release on this day. I'm only saying this because I was one of the co-writers, is the film A Guy Thing from MGM. Conrad brought that to my attention earlier.
Yes.
I said, okay, I'll toot my own horn on the air. I co-wrote A Guy Thing with my writing partner at the time, Greg Liana. And it was my first studio experience selling a script. And frankly, the only script that I was part of that sold that hit the big screen. The others are just sitting there on the shelves collecting dust. Who knows if they'll ever get made or not? I don't know. At this point, I've kind of stopped counting on it. But A Guy Thing was released. It was a very interesting experience going through the note-getting process from the studios and watching. It was interesting. When we sold the script, we were like really hot writers in town. We get meetings everywhere, like all the big companies, all the big producers. And MGM bought it, and everyone at MGM was great. But this is what happens so often. At least the more I talk to people, I found this out. When you sell a script, they think it's great. Obviously, they bought it. They pay good money for these scripts. And then they just read it more and more, and they find little things that need to be changed, that don't really need to be changed, frankly. So that was a very interesting process. Greg and I did two rewrites we were contracted for, and then they replaced us. Like, that happens very often. It was a little bit of a blow to the ego, but I found out it was very common. They brought in two other really talented award-winning writers from sitcoms, but they had a different sensibility. The director had a different sensibility. The producer had, it was like way too many cooks. Having said that, A Guy Thing was released this day. I am still proud of it. There are some very funny moments in it that they kept from the script we sold, but I felt like it was a perfect script. And that's what we were told. And then they just kept, I wish they would have shot the script we made, but you know, whatever. I'm not going to cry about it. That is kind of a pretty common experience. So if you're interested, check out A Guy Thing. I'm sure you can stream it somewhere. Our question tonight, since it's Jim Carrey's birthday, he is 62. What is your favorite Jim Carrey movie? Let us know. Conrad is awaiting. His thumbs are tingling. He wants to take your texts so bad.
Yes.
920-264-0606. 920-264-0606. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. There's a little text icon. You just click it. It's so easy. My son actually texted me last night using the Civic Media app, and it had nothing to do with the show. He wanted me to remember to do something. So it comes in handy for a lot of stuff. But let us know what your favorite Jim Carrey movie is. And as always, you can join the conversation, whatever we're talking about. When Chris Foran is here and we're talking about the Emmys, tell us what you liked. Tell us what you're watching. That's always open for discussion. Conrad, I think we need to get a clip in here. Do we have a good Jim Carrey clip ready to go?
Yeah, we do.
What do we have? Whatever you think. You're the time guy. You let me know what you think we can play and fire it up. Let's set the clip up, though.
All right. So we can do one from the cable guy.
Oh, I love this clip. This is great. All right. This is Jim Carrey as the cable guy, and Matthew Broderick plays opposite him. And there's that awkward moment where you're trying to get the cable guy to hook up all the movie channels. And we've all been there. And I think that's all we need. Go ahead.
Let me get you some help, Truman. You're not...
One thing. I have this friend, and he gave his cable guy $50, and then he got all the movie channels for free. Did you ever hear of anything like that?
You mean illegal cable?
Yeah.
Who told you that? What is his name? I wanted.
Oh, forget it.
You're offering me a bribe. What you have just done is illegal. And in this state, if convicted, you could be fined up to $5,000 or spend 6 months in a correctional facility.
Oh, wait, please. No, that was dumb. I was just making conversation. Forget it.
I'm just jerking your chin. You are too easy.
Wake up, little snoozy. Smell the smelling salt.
I'll juice you up.
Oh, that's funny. So that's the cable guy, Jim Carrey and the cable guy. I have to be honest, Conrad, the first time I saw that, I was kind of like, okay, it was okay. But the more, it's one of those films that the more I watched it, I really grew to have a better appreciation of it. Is that your experience as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've seen it probably like 8 times now. And every time I watch it,
oh wow,
it gets more funny to me.
That's how I am with Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber to me is almost, in my opinion, a perfect movie. I know everybody might think about it. Film snobs might think about it. Oh, it's a silly comedy. It is, but it's flawless. And I'm going to tell you why Dumb and Dumber is flawless after we do a break. And you might be surprised, but it was brilliantly written by Peter and Bobby Farrelly. And not just comedy-wise either. It's just it's a smart comedy, even though it's a silly comedy, if that makes sense. So Chris Foran is going to be here in about 10 minutes. He's from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is their entertainment editor. We're going to talk Emmys. He's working on a piece about one of our favorite fictitious shows shot in Wisconsin 50 years ago. We talked about it a little bit the other night. We'll talk about that with Chris. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you why Dumb and Dumber is a perfect movie. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
.5 The Tap.
What a win!
friend, the Green Bay Packers now face the San Francisco 49ers this Saturday night in California. Catch every play and score on the Packers Radio Network locally in Racine on WRJN 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM in Kenosha. 98Q Country in Park Falls and in Richland Center on WRCO 100.9 FM. The Packers against the 49ers this Saturday night. Pregame at 5, kickoff 7:15. What a team. The Packers and the Civic Media Radio Network.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change-makers, we need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Very exciting, a Wednesday night in the dead of winter, talking show business. Did you have a tough day? You get tired of talking politics or sitting in traffic? Arguing with loved ones. Join me. Let's talk. We're talking TV. We're talking movies. We're talking Jim Carrey. And here's, before the break, I said that I thought Dumb and Dumber was a perfect movie. And I do think it is in context. It's so consistent. Like, I know it's a silly comedy. Everybody thinks about it like that. But A, it's the writing is flawless. It's hilarious. The gags are great. But here's where I went from liking Dumb and Dumber to loving Dumb and Dumber. Jim Carrey, when he's driving, his mind drifts off and he kind of daydreams. And he thinks about Mary's character, played by Lauren Holly, who's hilarious in the film. And his character, Lloyd Christmas, or was he Lloyd or was he Harry? Conrad, do you remember?
He's Harry.
He's Lloyd Christmas, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He is Lloyd. IMDb this. Okay. Yeah. He's Lloyd Christmas. Lloyd is daydreaming about Mary and himself being charming around her. And in so many films, comedies, when a guy who's not that bright or is kind of a half-wit daydreams, he daydreams outside of his reality. And he actually pictures himself being charming the way a smart guy would be charming. But in Dumb and Dumber, they kept it in character. And Jim Carrey pictures himself being charming by throwing popcorn in his mouth and all these educated people sitting around laughing at him. Then he puts his feet back over his shoulders and lights one of his own farts, and she's falling for him over this. Lauren Holly can't get enough of him. He's funny. He's charming. That is how his character would be charming. The Farrelly brothers kept it realistic and plausible, because that he doesn't have the capability to picture himself being actually charming or suave or debonair or smart. He's lighting his own farts and it's working. Just a hilarious movie. What is your favorite Jim Carrey movie? That's our question tonight. He turns 62. It's his birthday. So we're talking a little bit of Jim Carrey here. And we do have some text here. Jim from Appleton, from the 920, Jim from Appleton. My favorite, that's a hard choice. I'll have to go with The Mask. Nice. Very interesting, Jim. I kind of forgot about The Mask. And I have a showbiz story about The Mask, too, that pains me to tell. Sometimes, Conrad, if I ever start talking too much about my own career, I want you to give me an electrical shock. Because I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be, you know... I've been in show business my whole life. I've met a lot of people. I have some stories. You know, I had a modicum of success, but I'm not retired. I'm doing radio and loving it. And I love talking about my experiences and my writing experiences, stand-up, acting, whatever. But I don't want to be that guy. So if I start to run off at the mouth, as Del Griffith said, in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, you just give me a poke in the chops. But The Mask, that's one I forgot about. Well done, Jim. Also from the 920, also from Jim. In my opinion, his best character was Fire Marshal Bill. I think you would have a lot of people that would agree with you there, Jim, from In Living Color. From the 920, Paula, Conrad's mom, it would not be a Nightlight episode if Conrad's mom didn't chime in. The Grinch, she goes holiday. Okay. Very nice. Very nice, Paula. Am I on first name basis yet with your mom, Conrad? I mean, we've been
yeah, I think so.
Days.
I think, okay. Yeah, I think so.
I don't have to call her Conrad's mom, or I can just say Paula.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't want to be disrespectful, you know. From the 715, Dumb and Dumber is my favorite Jim Carrey movie for sure. And then also from the 715, made him iconic. That's from the same texture, actually, 715. I do not disagree with that. To me, that was, and Ace Ventura is funny. Liked it. But Dumb and Dumber, it's all about Dumb and Dumber. Let's do the other clip from Dumb and Dumber, Conrad. This is kind of talk about an iconic quote within an iconic movie. This is probably the most quoted line from Dumb and Dumber. You know what I'm talking about, right, Conrad?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
What do you think the chances are of a guy like you and a girl like me ending up together?
Well, Lloyd, that's difficult to say, and we really don't...
Hit me with it! Just give it to me straight! I came a long way just to see you, Mary. Just least you can do is level with me. What are my chances?
Not good.
You mean not good like 1 out of 100?
I'd say more like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance. Yeah!
Oh. And not only is that hilarious, very well acted. I mean, his face, he's so expressive. It's just it's so great. Do we have time for another clip, Conrad?
Yeah.
Find us another, you know the times. Get another Jim Carrey clip up there, but set it up or tell us.
So this is a short clip from Ace Ventura. The original. He's got all of his pets in his apartment, and his landlord's like thinking like he has pets in there. So when Ace comes home, he quickly hides all of his pets, and this is what happens.
Awesome.
Well, are you satisfied?
Just don't let me catch you with an animal in here, that's all.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
Loser.
That's your personal favorite, right?
Just talking about iconic lines, loser, or alrighty then from him is just great.
Right. So that's our question tonight. What is your favorite Jim Carrey movie? So many great ones to choose from. And so far we've heard The Grinch. We've heard, Conrad's is Ace Ventura. Mine is Dumb and Dumber. One of the texters said Dumb and Dumber. Jim from Appleton said his favorite character is Fire Marshal Bill. But he likes the mask. That was interesting. I kind of forgot about the mask, to be honest with you. So I'll just tell a quick story. Get ready with that electrical zapper, Conrad. Or punching me in the face.
Sounds good.
So I sold a script several years ago that I co-wrote. And the idea was a certain actor was going to star in it. It was kind of a funny script. It was like a regular Joe helps a movie star. I think Jack Black helps Julia Roberts change a tire in the middle of Ohio. He's a night manager at a Steak and Shake. On his way home, it's raining. He helps her. She falls in love with him because he's an average Joe and she's tired of dating Hollywood guys. Well, in the meantime, the movie opens with him proposing, the Jack Black character proposing and being shot down. And then 3 days later, she comes back and she says, I do want to marry you. Well, he's had this affair with Julia Roberts in that 3-day interim and no one believes him. So it was like a Notting Hill meets Fatal Attraction. We thought it was really funny. The actor thought it was funny. Instead of doing our film first with Warner Brothers, he went and did The Mask too. He tried to follow Jim Carrey. I'm not going to say who the actor is. He's a very talented guy, but bad advice from his peeps or reps. Or crew, or whatever you want to call him. You don't follow Jim Carrey. Okay, so in a couple of minutes, I'm going to talk to Chris Foran. He's here. He is the entertainment reporter, one of the entertainment reporters for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Love reading his stuff. He's going to talk Emmys And Happy Days. There, I said it. He's going to be here in just a minute, so don't go away, folks. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. I feel it's happened to me, and I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Winter storm warnings and advisories stretch from Washington State to South Dakota. There are at least 46 weather-related deaths nationwide. CBS's Carter Evans is in Portland, Oregon.
Many still don't have power in the Portland area. So far, 18 people have been treated at local emergency rooms for carbon monoxide poisoning. Firefighters say some had used generators and portable propane stoves inside.
U.S. ships have launched another wave of missiles against Houthi-controlled sites in Yemen. CBS's David Martin in Washington.
A U.S. official says the strikes targeted Houthi launch sites in an attempt to preempt further attacks against commercial shipping.
Iran-backed Houthi rebels vow to continue targeting Red Sea shipping. Medicine that is designated for Hamas hostages is now in the Gaza Strip. CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem.
Israel wants proof that the medicine actually gets to the hostages, and it's not clear if Hamas will provide that.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is one step closer to letting gas stations and other businesses build their own electric vehicle chargers. A bill that passed the state Senate Tuesday would change Wisconsin regulations to allow it. The Senate also approved a nearly $80 million federal grant to cover most of the cost of building new EV chargers. About 15% of Wisconsin's children are obese. State lawmakers are introducing 5 bills to help kids slim down. One of them would require 180 minutes of physical activity in schools through 8th grade.
Our schools are already required to do Phi-Ed, but instead of focusing sheerly on the academic section, perhaps on what is tennis, we're going to actually get our kids playing tennis and moving as much as possible.
Representative William Penterman is a member of the Speaker's Childhood Obesity Task Force. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 2 below 0. A few flurries on your Thursday with a high near 10. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, 2 below 0. For Friday, partly sunny with a high around 6 degrees. High of 10 on Saturday and near 20 for Sunday with mostly sunny skies.
Right now, 6 degrees.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 93.5, The Tap.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you is.
When your kid can't find the language,
Help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
Nightlights. A couple more texts here from the 414. Jim Carrey's best role was in The Majestic. Loved him in that role. Also from the 414, we got another vote for Ace Ventura. So validating Conrad's favorite Jim Carrey movie. Welcome back to Nightlight. So the Emmys happened the other day. And we talked about it a little bit last night. And there's a very good reporter and entertainment editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel called Chris Foran. And he is doing a piece that I wanted to talk about too. I kind of spoiled it before the break, but we're going to talk about it anyway. And I'm not very good at teases anyway. But he joins us right now. Chris, welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Pete. It's nice to be had.
I concur. So what is your... Before we get into the piece you want to do or that you're doing, what did you think of the Emmys? Just do you have a kind of an overall broad strokes opinion?
Well, I have unfortunately, I guess, been following entertainment award shows for way longer than anyone should. And I used to get kind of outraged by some of them. And then I realized I was arguing about the integrity of an award show and I didn't get a life. The Emmys had a little bit of a problem this year because they normally have them in early September, usually on a Monday night, which tells you how unimportant they are to television. Right. Monday night is the Emmys night. But because of the actors and writers strikes, they pushed it back to January. So it was additional. So many of the shows that won, like The Bear, for example, won 10 Emmys. It won those for its first season. Most people are thinking, oh, it's the second season, which just right. ended. And so that's kind of weird. I mean, we focus on Wisconsin stuff when we write about it. And so we wrote about Niecy Nash-Betts getting an Emmy for her role on the Dahmer series, which went on Netflix just after the previous Emmys in 2022. So right. it had a kind of, apparently it was the lowest rated Emmys ever, but you know, that's the thing about award shows, that they release the year-end numbers from Nielsen, and the top 30 ranked shows, 28 of them were NFL football games.
Oh my gosh.
Number 22 was the reality cooking show that aired right after the Super Bowl, and number 15 was the Oscars. So, I mean, there's the reason they do them, but it was okay. I mean, it was kind of had a staleness to it. It's always nice when they acknowledge that there's a past to their stuff. I think that's, for me, that's what makes the Oscars different than all the other shows, is there's a sort of historicity to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I always use the analogy of sports championships. World Series go back 100 something years. NBA Finals, no one can remember who won 2 years ago unless it was your team. And, right. And Oscars are like that too. There's, you're doing something that Gary Cooper did or that somebody else did.
Yeah.
And these don't really have that. They have so many categories. I'm kind of surprised that I haven't been nominated. I mean, they're running out of people to nominate.
I'll nominate you next year, Chris.
It's always an honor to be nominated. But I mean, it's still an achievement. And I think it's just hard. When I started at the paper in 1995, we had three people writing about television and a full-time film critic. And I thought it was very funny that we had three people writing about television. Now I don't think you could cover it with three people. There's just so much to cover.
Yeah. Why is that? I mean, there's more content than ever, but right. When I asked you how you wanted me to introduce yourself, you told me about all the hats you wear. Are people right. happy just watching TV and don't care? I mean, I feel like I'm hoping at least on some level to provide a service and talk about shows that I'm watching, that guests are watching, right. but Why is that? Why would they cut back on entertainment? And sports is booming, well, you know.
Well, part of the challenge that we faced in a lot of public or media outlets in our size and shape, when I write about a movie, if I write about a movie, I'm competing with the world on the internet.
Okay.
And no matter how good I am, you know, when you search for a movie, the first thing that comes up is literally Google. I am not going to win that street fight.
Right.
And so you just have to focus on what's important. I think the broader issue, I think, is that I think people listen to the people they trust. They listen to their friends. But we watch things differently than we did. You know, I'm in my 60s and I still remember when there was water cooler television, and
yeah,
you know, which is now, when I took over editing the Sunday TV section, the first cover I had to deal with was on The Sopranos, which is a brand new show. And I thought, really, are we overstretching it by putting this on the cover? And I was obviously wrong. But that was a show that majority of the audience watched it in real time, and they could talk about it the next day.
Right.
When I was thinking about what shows I watch, I don't think I've watched a show live. And I'm the demographic of people who do watch television live. So right.
It just
changes how we consume it.
Yeah. What's your take? How do you prefer to watch TV, Chris? You write about it so much. Do you like the binge element, or now so many of these outlets and apps are going back to once a week? And I am,
right. That
is driving me nuts. Like, I watched True Detective the other night. I'm like, really? Yeah. One episode? Like, this is might as well be 1978. And now a lot of them are sneaking ads in there again, too. It's like totally negates the purpose.
Well, they're sneaking ads in there because your subscription doesn't pay for it, which I get to recuse myself because that's the business I'm in. We have the same problem.
Sure.
And that's just the nature of the, what they like to call the content industries. I think, you know, like I also write and I'm actually more of a movie person than a TV person personally. And the challenge that movie theaters have is that you have to go see it when they're showing it.
And right.
We have generations, and pretty much anybody under 40 has had total control of when they consume entertainment for most of their life. They don't even listen, you know, they don't listen to radio necessarily for music. They have Spotify, they have their own playlists, they have other people's playlists.
Right.
They, you know, they stream whatever they do, put it on. If you're old like me, you put it on an iPod, you know, and television is the same thing. And so it's just hard to manage. You know, I was thinking about the shows that in preparation for this, think about the TV shows that I watch. Again, if I have enough time, I'll watch a movie versus TV shows. But most of the shows I watched, I ended up watching like way late. Like the final season of Better Call Saul, which is probably one of the best shows I've seen. I bet I saw it 10 months after it aired on television, maybe longer. Partly it's because my wife doesn't like violence or even tense television, which means I have to watch when she's not around.
Better Call Saul is tough too, because I wouldn't say by and large it's typically a violent show, but there is violence. You just never know when it's coming. It's not consistently violent. I'm glad you brought that up. So my guest is Chris Foran. He's the entertainment reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking the Emmys right now and TV and film in general. Chris, did Better Call Saul has won its share of awards, but it was nominated 53 times.
Right.
By the Emmys and did not win one. What is going on there? Bob Odenkirk to me is an incredible talent. Yeah. I love the show. Yeah. I'm sorry it's over. What is happening there? Do you have any idea or theory?
I don't know. Again, when you start debating award shows, you're sort of in trouble. But
it's fun to do.
That's why they would dance.
Right.
I used to work with the sports writer who used to always say, and that's why they play the games.
Right.
I use the examples because the Oscars are easier to use. Example, you think about these incredible performances that don't win an Academy Award. How did that not win? And then you look at who won and you think, oh yeah. I mean, my personal favorite movie of all time is probably Casablanca.
Great.
And you see that and you say, how could Humphrey Bogart not win? He's perfect. That's a perfect performance. Then you see the movie that the actor who did win, who was Paul Lucas for Watch on the Rhine. And it's a beautiful performance. And, you know, like Clark Gable not winning for Gone with the Wind because Robert Donat was incredibly fantastic in Goodbye, Mr. Chips, you know, and you don't get to pick that spot sometimes. And And in award shows, there's also, you know, everything from this person is due or this person never won.
It's their turn. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And I also think that shows that don't easily fit into a slot throw off some traditional voters. I think the voting population for all these things have changed or are changing.
Right.
And a good example is The Bear, which how that's a comedy, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Except that it's a half hour, which is at one point that was how the Emmys defined comedies. Half hours were comedies and hours were dramas.
I thought Succession was a comedy. That was in the drama. And there is drama, but
right.
It's such a weird, vague category. I mean, Lost in America, one of my all-time favorite movies. I feel like Albert Brooks should have won an Oscar for that. It's a comedy, but his acting is stellar. Yeah. And I didn't understand. I don't understand. I'm with you, though. I thought the same thing about The Bear. Did you like The Bear?
You know, I watched most of the first season. It's funny, it's a point of contention in my house about what kind of television we watch. But I had to stop watching The Bear because it was just making me too nervous. I'm not a cringe comedy person.
Right.
I don't, you know, like I even The Office made me a little uncomfortable.
Oh, I was just thinking of The Office. Yeah, a lot of people don't like that. Well,
the British Office was unwatchable. Personally. Oh, it's very funny, but it's just
brilliant.
It's just uncomfortable. And the Bear made me tense. And I'm really tense. So we need the help. And the Succession, on the other hand, gave me dreams of imposter syndrome and failure syndrome and things like that. But, you know, it was a little too much for me to watch. So.
It's satire. And I got through about 2.5 seasons of Succession. I didn't not like it, but I'm like, this is one of those things that just caught on fire and people think they should love it or something. It is funny. Once I watched it with that eye, with a comedic eye, I was like, okay, this is kind of funny. There are some good characters there. I want to ask you about a show that I'm totally on an island here. Ted Lasso. Yeah. Everybody loves Ted Lasso. I have to excuse myself from conversations because it's not like I don't like Ted Lasso. Right. But the show makes no sense. It would never happen. A guy who just won a Division II college football championship in America does not go coach a soccer team in Great Britain. And everyone says, no, she was trying to tank the team. I get that. I get why she'd hire a boob to be a coach of the soccer team. But he's not going to take the job. And to say that he's going to leave his kid, his wife needed space, I had to go coach a soccer team. I can't make the leap. It's funny. The writing is great. They're very good writers. But am I wrong? Shoot me down, Chris.
Well, I don't want to shoot you down. I mean, you like what you like and you don't like what you don't like. It's also weird that a former relief ace and alcoholic would own a bar in Boston, you know, or a judge that was better known for doing magic tricks than sitting on the bench would run night court.
His legal opinion, yeah.
You know, and I mean that's partly what television does, is they, especially sitcom, especially comedy.
Yeah,
is it throws people into it. You know, fish out of water is a pretty prominent genre the last
for
50
sure
years. And I think that's what that initially that was the thing of that show was this wacky upbeat American gets thrown in among the Brits. Let's see what happens to him.
I'm fine with that. I just wish they could have found a way to get him over there that was a little more believable because I couldn't, I'm one guy. I'm obviously the idiot. The show has done very well. But
I had, when I was in college, I reviewed the movie Flashdance, and I couldn't get past the fact that in recession laden Pittsburgh, an 18-year-old would get a job on a welding line. Right. I could not get my head around that. Everything else was already weird too, but obviously it's a movie that has resonated. People love this movie, but,
and that's exactly how I am with, and my buddy Steve Iatt, I used to do stand-up comedy back in the 90s, and he said my favorite joke he used to say was when the movie Punchline came out, and they said, is it realistic for comedy? He goes, folks, Punchline is to comedy what Flashdance is to welding. It's just such a great. All right, so Chris, we got to take a very short break. Can you hang for 60 seconds? I want to talk about your next piece that will be featured in in your paper. And I want you to also, if you would, please think about your favorite Jim Carrey movie. We'll ask Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that when we come back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back. Tonight's question is on the birthday of the great Jim Carrey, who turned 62 today. What is your favorite Jim Carrey movie? And I'm talking with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel entertainment editor Chris Foran. Chris, do you have a favorite Jim Carrey movie?
Well, when you ask the question, I try not to overthink those things. I try to go to the visceral answer, and then I promptly second guess myself. But my visceral response was going to be Bruce Almighty.
Oh, nice. That's the first Bruce Almighty.
It's just a nice movie.
Yeah,
you don't expect it to be. And you got Morgan Freeman and Scott. How could you go wrong?
And Steve Carell with a very funny cameo or role.
Yeah, right. Well, and then Evan Almighty, which is not as good as Bruce Almighty.
Right.
But then I also thought about it, and I had forgotten about Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which is just another nice movie that I used to, that when I, for many, many years, the Journal Sentinel's movie critic was, or film critic was Dwayne Dudek. And Dwayne used to say that he would give an extra half star for movies if they had a Milwaukee-ness to them. If there was somebody from Milwaukee or was about Milwaukee, that kind of thing. For me, I feel like I give it an extra half star if it gives me any hope.
Mm, nice.
I love downer movies, absolutely. But there's just something about when it feels genuine and as obvious as a movie like Bruce Almighty is, it works. It makes you feel okay, you know.
I'm kind of with you. I like when it kind of sneaks up, when I'm sort of not fooled, but surprised. I was like, oh, well, very well done. Right. So you've got a piece coming out you were telling me about earlier about a show set in Milwaukee that is having its 50th anniversary since it was released years and years ago. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. As you probably know, this is it the 14th? So Sunday was the 50th anniversary of the debut episode of Happy Days. And we were looking at, well, how do we do it? You know, we don't want to write a story saying, hey, it's 50 years or, you know, 50 things you forgot, because we forgot a lot about that show.
Right.
So I just looked at it a little bit, and, you know, if you said name a show that's in Milwaukee, set in Milwaukee, that, you know, most people would say Happy Days. A few people stragglers would say Laverne and Shirley, but, and what I didn't realize until I looked into it is that the first year that it was on the air, it wasn't set in Milwaukee. It wasn't set any place. They never identified the city. It was a mid-season replacement. It started in January.
Oh, okay.
And so they did 16 episodes, and then in the second season, they consciously added Milwaukee elements to the show. They never mentioned, they didn't use the M word at all in those first 16 episodes. The guy, one of the executive producers of the show is a gentleman named Tom Miller, who had done a very impressive body of work, but he was buddying up with some people at ABC at the time. And he said, you know, I'd like to do a traditional family show. And he came up with this idea based on his own family growing up in Milwaukee. He grew up in the North Shore. He was in the first graduating class of Nicolet High School in 1958. And he created this show. And but for the, like a lot of television shows, you know, we don't really know what city, you know, most sitcoms are based in for, until recently. That's a fairly new development. You know,
yeah.
We really don't know where they are. And the one thing he sort of snuck in was the drive-in in the show. Arnold's drive-in
right.
was based on the drive-in he used to go to when he was a kid, which was a place called the Milky Way drive-in on Port Washington Road, which is now where the Cops is in Glendale.
Oh, nice.
But a couple of months after they debuted, they got renewed, which was pretty big vote of confidence. And they started talking interviews already in the midsummer, saying, we're going to put a lot more Milwaukee stuff in this. And he used the analogy of shows like Bob Newhart at the time and Mary Tyler Moore, which they were, even though you never saw, other than in the credits, you never saw Chicago or Minneapolis.
Yeah.
It was consciously set there. And they never even filmed anything here for the show.
Not even B-roll, huh? That's crazy.
No, they, for Laverne and Shirley, it's just that shot of City Hall.
Yeah.
That when they're walking down the street doing the Haas and Pfeff Incorporated thing, that's not Milwaukee. There is no street where there is a, you know, it's a little small stretch of Farwell where there are some sub street level apartments, but that doesn't exist here, generally.
The other night, it was funny. I had a comedian, Mike Toomey, on. We were talking about Happy Days, and we played the clip where Fonzie is trying to sleep outside, and all the animals are making, there's crickets and raccoons and making all these noises, and he just sits up and goes, "Cool it." And all the animals stop. Like he transcends species. But when I was growing up, I grew up, spent the first 12 years of my life before we moved to Wisconsin and Chicago. And there's a lot of kids in my neighborhood. Fonzie was, they didn't even call it Happy Days. They just said the Fonz. They would see like, you see Fonz last night? Like he was maybe the most iconic, you know, character of the 70s or 80s, certainly.
And he wasn't the in that first season, he wasn't the number two or number one character on that show.
Right.
The focus was supposed to be on like Potsy as the best friend.
Right.
And if you watch those early episodes, you can't, you know, Potsy's in every other scene. But the demand came, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they clearly hit something with this character, and Winkler, you know, who was not a huge guy, wasn't, you know, in the first half season, he's wearing like a windbreaker.
It's interesting because he's actually cooler with that coat in those first few episodes because he's like a side character than he was later. And the other thing I thought was interesting, Chris, was that they jumped the shark like in the fourth or fifth season. It was so early. I always thought that was like 1984. Unfortunately, we have to run here, Chris, but look, when will that piece be out? When can people read that?
It'll be on JS Online tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And I think in print, it'll probably be on Saturday's paper.
Outstanding. Read about our favorite show in the Journal Sentinel. Chris, this has been really fun getting to know you. I hope you come back and do this soon. It was fun.
Sure, you bet.
Nice talking to you. Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, doing great work, joining us tonight to talk Happy Days and the Emmys. What is your favorite Jim Carrey movie? That is the question tonight. 920-264-0606. We got one more texter here. Oh, that is not Jim Carrey related. Better Call Saul. Loves Better Call Saul. So keep those texts coming, folks. We love when you guys get involved in the show. When we come back, we're going to talk to Wisconsin author James Roberts. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.